If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew 27, verse 22. While you're turning there, let me, comedian Archie Campbell enjoyed telling about two sweethearts who were sitting on the front porch, and the young man noticed tears were streaming down his girlfriend's face, and he said, "What's the matter with my little sweetheart? I'll just kiss those tears away." After kissing a few times, he noticed she was still crying, and he said, "Won't anything stop those tears?" She said, "It's hay fever, darling, but keep up the treatments." You know, one of our couples this morning, been married for a number of years, but he finally popped a question to her. You know, Dennis just took his wife for granted that she would marry him. And he took her, you know, before the preacher and all that and got it done. But he never asked her to marry him until this week. 42 years. It's about time, isn't it? I just had to do that, Dennis. You just wasn't sure, were you? We better quit, Dennis. We don't want to get you in trouble.
I wanted to make sure it was
going to last. Yeah. The Bible said, Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" What shall I do with Jesus? I do not understand or underestimate the importance of such questions as, "What school shall I attend? What vocation shall I enter? Whom shall I marry? And where shall I reside? And for whom shall I vote?" But as important as these questions are, they sink into insignificance in the face of life's most important question that was asked by Pilate long ago. He said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" This question that was asked by the Roman governor came in the midst of the most flagrant abuse of justice in human history. The trial of Jesus Christ was a travesty. Jesus was guiltless. He was illegally tried, falsely accused, and unjustly sentenced. The illegality of his trial is seen in several areas. Number one, the law required that trials for such crimes as Jesus was accused of was to be conducted by the great Sanhedrin in a special chamber at the National Temple at Jerusalem. Instead, Caiaphas, the high priest, tried Jesus outside the legal courtroom in his own palace. Number two, the law required that all trials were to be held during daytime hours as a means of protection for the defendants. Jesus was arrested and brought to trial all by night. It was illegal to hold trial before the daily morning sacrifice was offered. They did it at night. And four, this was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the day before the Sabbath. The law prohibited trials on either the feast day or the Sabbath. And then five, the law also required that major trials such as this would take, it would take at least 2 days in order to protect against lynch law crucifixion or conviction. Jesus was tried one day, and he was to be revisited and reviewed the next day. But Jesus was tried in darkness. Instead of daybreak, he was crucified all in the same day. And because Jerusalem was under Roman law, at this particular time, they had to charge him with treason as well as the charge of blasphemy in order that the death penalty could be carried out. Now, Pilate, when he examined Jesus, discovered that his kingdom was not of this world. And he said this, "I find no fault in the man." From a legal standpoint, Jesus was never convicted of any crime. Never any fault. He was not found guilty of any wrong. He stood guiltless before his accusers. Jesus died not only for his Jesus died not for his own wrong, but the Bible said for Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So the question is, what are we going to do with Jesus? What is the world going to do with Jesus? Brethren, I'm just a man. I'm a pastor. And there are times when I am, on the mountaintops just like you. And there are times that I am not on the mountaintops. I don't mind telling you that it is frustrating and sometimes perplexing when you work hard and it seems like maybe the blessings don't come. And I think that it's going to take more than me and just a few others. It's going to take all of us putting our shoulder to the wheel. Amen. We're in an important work. And we've got to be up and about the master's business. But he asked a personal question. Pilate said, "What shall I do?" I'm going to tell you, you can't escape that question. Everybody's got to answer that question. Everybody that's ever lived has got to answer that question. What shall I do with Jesus that is called Christ? Apparently, Pilate was cowardly. And he wanted to pass the buck off to someone else. He tried to get the Jewish leaders to judge Jesus by their law, but they would not. He tried to get Herod Antipas, the king, in order to judge him, but he wouldn't decide the issue, and he passed the buck back to Agrippa. Nobody could decide for Pilate, but Pilate himself. His wife had a dream. And in that dream, she said, "I was warned to tell you that you're not to have anything to do with this man. But I'm here to tell you, you cannot escape having something to do with this man. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and we'll either accept him in this life or reject him. We'll either receive him and go to heaven or reject him and go to hell. There's no other alternative." Notice the particular question. Before Pilate stood the guiltless Christ, he realized that he had done no wrong, that he was guilty of only love and compassion and purity. He had done no wrong. He did not deserve to die on the cross of Calvary. But he loved us. Before Pilate stood the glorious Christ, You remember on an earlier occasion when the soldiers had been sent to Jesus to bring him in, and they didn't do it. And they came back and said, "No man has ever spoken like this man speaks. We've never heard anybody talk like this man talks." And then when they sent the soldiers to the Garden of Gethsemane in order to find him, and they were asking for Jesus, and Jesus told them, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am he that you are seeking." And when he did, merely the power of his words caused them to fall down to the ground. Listen, I want to remind you this morning that this particular question has to be asked to every person. And I know you that are here have been here Sunday after Sunday, and you hear the question, and I'm sure that most all of you are right with God, but if you're not, you need to get right. Amen. And you need to do it now. Don't put it off. We're living in troubled times, and our country is in a mess. Our world is in a mess. And it all tells us that things are coming to a screeching halt. They're coming to a climax. And if we're ever going to get ready, we're ever going to serve like we ought to, we need to do it now. We need to do it now. Before Pilate stood the gracious Christ, you see, he did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He had journeyed far from heaven's glory down to this old earth in order to seek and to save that which was lost. The pertinent question, for you see, life's greatest issues rest on the decisions made regarding Jesus Christ. A person can go through this life and they can reject having anything to do with Christ. And isn't it a frightful thing when you come to a funeral and somebody's rejected the Lord all of his life or her life? And you have nothing good to say. You can say, "Well, they were a good friend and they were good this and good that, but they were lost." And they went into eternity unprepared to meet God. And they died in their sins and they went to hell because they rejected Jesus Christ. You see, your condemnation or justification before God depends on what you do with Jesus. For the Bible said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a comfort? No condemnation. If you're in Christ Jesus this morning, there's no condemnation for you. No condemnation. Oh, when you get born again, a miracle takes place up here. I just cannot fathom how somebody can come with an old black heart and just kneel because they've been convicted and drawn by the Holy Spirit to come and give their life to Christ. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when they say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and be my Savior," that old heart is cleansed. Kind of reminds me of Martin Luther. He went to sleep one night and he was troubled about his sin. And in that particular dream, he saw an angel standing by a blackboard. And at the top of the board was Luther's name. And the angel, with chalk in hand, began to write all the sins of Luther. And he was filling the blackboard. Luther shuddered in despair, fleeing or feeling that his sins were so many that he could never be forgiven. Oh, but suddenly in his dreams, he saw a pierced hand writing above these words, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin." And as Luther was watching, he said, "The blood from that wounded hand began to cover all of my sins." I'm here to tell you this morning that it takes the blood of Jesus Christ. And if people don't accept that and ask for God's forgiveness, that the blood be applied to their life, they're going to die lost. Whether your life is a success or failure depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. Paul could say, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So whether you have eternal life or you're separated from God forever depends on what you do with Jesus, what you do with him. And then it's a piercing question. Pilate was on the spot. He was under more pressure than probably he had ever been before in all of his life. A decision had to be made about what he was going to do with Jesus Christ. A decision that confronted him. In a very real sense, Pilate was on trial instead of Jesus. He had tried to shift the responsibility from himself to others, but he could not do it. And you know, nobody can. When Jesus Christ comes and calls on you and he convicts you and draws you to repentance, it's because he loves you. And you've got to make a decision one way or another. You'll either accept him or you'll reject him. And that's true of every person. Every person has to answer that question, what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? Pilate had an opportunity to stand on the side of right. And there was also the side of wrong. Wrong said, "Remember, the Jews want to embarrass you. They want to get you fired. They want you out of the way. You better not trouble them and go against them." Right says Jesus is innocent. He is undoubtedly the Son of God. Refuse to condemn him no matter what it cost you. Stand by him, own him as your king. What did he do? He went against his conscience. He went against his wife's dream. And he went against the innocence of Jesus, and he took the crowd's position. You see, when Pilate stood before the people, he took a basin of water, and he filled it full of water, and he began to wash his hands as though he could wash his hands of the matter, and it'd all be over with. But the scripture tells us that the crowd, when he asked, "Who do you want me to let loose, Jesus or Barabbas?" And you know that they chose one that was guilty of murder and sedition and robbery. They said, "Free Barabbas and crucify Christ." Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father in heaven." I'm reminded of the story that Alex Ross told about an elderly woman who was dying. Her broken-hearted husband sat beside her bed. He was holding onto her hand. They had been married for many years. And both knew that the time for parting had come. As their eyes met, A tear flowed down the old woman's wrinkled cheek. Gently, her husband wiped it away. And then with a quiver in his voice, "Thank God, Mary, that's the last. Because in heaven, he'll wipe all tears away." Our time is running out. If you're ever going to get right with God, do it today. Do it today. Do it now. Say, "Yes, Lord, I'll come to you." Don't let pride stop you. Don't let anything hinder you from coming to Jesus Christ. Pray with me.